North Campus, would you help me welcome all of the campuses that are joining with us today? At every location, we welcome you. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I get the great opportunity week in and week out, not just to preach at one location, but literally at locations in Tennessee, Illinois, around, all the way to Ohio. And we're glad you're with us today. We are thankful for what God is doing through every church that's connected to Love and Truth Ministries. And we're glad you're there today. And let's get ready to see what God has for us. Now, let me share something with you real quickly. This Friday is going to be our Good Friday service right here at the North Campus. But we're all coming together from our different locations. So I just want to remind you of that, encourage you to be here at 7 o'clock right here at the North Campus at 565. Oilwell Road this Friday night. Would you grab your Bible today, and we're going to make our confession together, or your iPad, or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on, and let's do this together, can we? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's what's great about that is that you're confessing what's going to happen today in your life, and I believe that it's going to. Would you take your Bibles today and go to the book of Acts? We've been talking over the past few weeks about the process of this whole thing of following the Lord. And the past 3 weeks, I've been talking about in. The first week, we talked about all in, how that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've got to get all in. We talked the second week about tuning in, about how that it's needful for us to spend time in prayer, what prayer does, how prayer operates in our life. And then last week, we talked about digging in, which was getting into the Word of God, seeing what God is saying to us, and living our lives by God's Word. Now, today, I'm going to change it a little bit. The first 3 weeks has all been about us and about what we need to be doing as believers if we're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But today, we're going to kind of change it. Today, I'm going to talk about reaching out. Now, here's the deal. If I'm taking all this stuff in, then I've got to have some way, somehow, to get it out of my life. And so let's go to the book of Acts, the first chapter, and the 8th verse, one verse of Scripture I want to read to you right now. And it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." We believe that. "And you will be my," what's that next word? Witnesses. Would you say that with me? Witnesses. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, how many of you know that if I were to talk to any believer, any Christian today, and I were to say to them, "Listen, do you think it's important for us to tell other people about Jesus?" How many of you know everybody would say, "Oh, yes, it's really important," right? I mean, we would all give credence to that. We would all say, "Yes, that's what we ought to be doing." But if I were to ask that same person, when was the last time, right? When was the last time you asked somebody to come to church, or you asked somebody if they knew Jesus? Probably a lot of us would, you know, we'd start winding our watch and shuffling a little bit trying to figure it out. And here's what I found out. We all believe it. We all know that we should do it, but we find ourselves not really living it out. And, I'm not an evangelist. That's not a gifting I have. When you study, you know, there's five gifts of pastoral leadership that's listed in Scripture: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I don't have the gift of evangelism. It's not something that's natural to me. I heard years ago that an evangelist is somebody who gets on an airplane, prays for a middle seat, and then prays for extreme turbulence before they land. You think about it. In other words, they're going to get them both saved on both sides of them before they land, right? Now, I'm just the opposite. I get on a plane praying for the aisle and for nobody to be in the middle, because I want to study. I want to, you know, spend my time however long I'm locked in that airplane. So we're all wired differently. Here's what I found out. The number one reason that Christians don't tell others about Jesus is fear. We are afraid. We're afraid of the response. We're afraid of what somebody's going to say back to us. We did it one time, and it didn't go very well. And so we say, I did that once, and it blew up in my face. I'm never ever going to do that again. And so today, I want to first of all spend just a few minutes with you, showing you why we should be reaching out, why we should be telling others about Jesus. And then I want us to go to a story about Jesus and how he reached out, and how you and I can apply that to our lives. The first reason that you and I need to be people who are reaching out is we know our lives have been changed, okay? The reason I need to be telling somebody else about Jesus is because I know what Jesus did to me. How many of you are better off since you came to Jesus? Right? I mean, I know you can look at me and there's a lot of things that aren't good about me. I got that. But boy, I'm so much better than I used to be. Right? I mean, since I came into relationship with Jesus Christ, I've found that life is different than it used to be. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I know my life has been changed. I know what God has done for me. I mean, there are some of us, if we were to tell the truth, if Jesus hadn't come into our life, we'd be in prison right now. Right? I mean, some of us would be 6 feet under right now if we hadn't come to know the Lord. And you say, well, Pastor, my life's not perfect. No, it's not perfect, but guess what? You've got a Savior in your life. You've got a Lord in your life that cares about you. And he is, so because of what he has done for me, then I need to be telling others about him. The second reason is because Jesus commands us to tell others, all right? And we all know this scripture pretty well. If you've been to church much, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 says, therefore go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So Jesus is commanding us. You and I are commanded by God Almighty that we are to go and that we are to tell other people about Jesus. So if I don't do it because I've been changed, then I need to at least be obedient to what Jesus Christ told me to do and to tell others about him. Number three is our hearts are moved with compassion. And I'll give you a scripture about that. That word compassion just means love there. The book of Mark, the 6th chapter and the 34th verse says, when Jesus landed and he saw this large crowd, he had compassion on them. In other words, he looked at them and he loved them. And the scripture says, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. We need to be like Jesus. We need to look at people. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have some people in your life that get on your last nerve? Would you look at your neighbor and see if they've got their hand up? Because if they don't, they're probably the one who's getting on your last nerve, right? They're the guilty party, okay? We all have that, and what I found through the years is that if somebody else is getting on my last nerve, I'm probably getting on, right? I'm probably somebody else's thorn in the flesh, all right? And so I need to look at people, and a lot of times we get caught up in their dysfunction, we get caught up in their mess, and we get caught up in all the wrong things that they're doing in life, and we don't look at them. Listen, when Jesus saw that crowd, I mean, think about it. He was God. The Bible says he was God manifest in the flesh. So when he looked at that crowd that day, he knew everybody was committing adultery. Wow, I just got quiet. He knew everybody that got drunk the night before. He knew everybody that, had stolen. He knew as he looked at that crowd, he knew everything they had done. Aren't you glad I don't have that gift? Crowd would get a lot less on Sunday, wouldn't it? And he looked, and yet the Bible says that he was moved with love for them. You and I are called of God to be moved by love for people. So our hearts have to be moved with compassion. Lastly, we need to be reaching out to people because we need to understand that the time is short, okay? The Bible told us years ago that Jesus is coming when? soon, right? Now, I don't spend a lot of time in the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel. I don't spend a lot of time teaching what theologians call eschatology, which is the study of end times. But we do know that the Bible says it this way, John 9:4, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. In other words, there's coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. So you and I have an opportunity. And you know what? You say, well, Jesus may not come for hundreds of years. And he may not. He may come to day, he may not come for 1,000 years. I don't know when he's coming, but here's what I know. None of you are going to be here in 1,000 years. None of your friends are going to be here probably in 100 years, right? And so we all understand that life is brief, life is short, and we need to be helping and letting others know about Jesus. Now, it's great for me to tell you all that, and I could send you home today feeling real guilty because you haven't told anybody about Jesus lately. But what I want to do is I want to take the next several minutes of our time together today, and I want to share with you from the Master. I want us to learn today from Jesus Christ how that we go about talking to somebody else about him. How many of you believe Jesus was the Master, right? I mean, he knew how to do it. So would you go back in your Bibles to the book of John? Just go to your left a little bit. The book of John, the 4th chapter, is a story. And let me just share a little bit of the story with you before we kind of dig down into it. The scripture there in John chapter 4 says that Jesus looked at his disciples, and they were traveling, going from one town to the next, and he said to them, I need to go to Samaria. And they kind of looked at him like, Lord, what's wrong with you? Because, let me explain why, because Samaria was not where a good, you know, watch this, a good Jew was going to go. A good Jewish person would not be seen with the Samaritans because Samaritans had intermarried, and there was a real racism between Jews and Samaritans. They wouldn't speak to each other. They didn't have any relationship with each other. And yet Jesus says to these guys, these 12 that are his closest ones with him, he said, I need to go to Samaria. So they take this journey, and he gets there, and the Bible says he's tired, and so he sits down at the well. He sends the 12 in to get some food. And this woman comes. It's noonday. Now, it's noon. You don't draw water at noon, right? You draw water early in the morning or late in the evening. You're not going to come at the hottest part of the day. And yet this woman shows up, and Jesus begins this encounter with her. He begins this discussion with her. And that's what I want to talk about today, is how that we go about in each and every one of our lives, how do we learn from the Master, and what is it that we are called to do by the Lord. Would you look in the 4th verse, of the 4th chapter, and here's what it says. It's verse 3 there, said that left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Verse 4 says, now he had to go through Samaria. Now, here's the first thing, if you're taking notes today. Number one is this, be sensitive to the Spirit. All right? Now, a lot of times we think that we're supposed to tell everybody we meet about Jesus. In fact, let me ask you a question. How many of you remember when you got saved? You remember when you got saved? Now, let me ask the next question. How many of those of you watching too, how many of you, pretty well ran everybody off out of your life in the first 3 months after you got saved? Right? Because you were excited, you were pumped, and you just said, you got to get saved, you're going to hell, right? And everybody says, chill out, dude. What's wrong with you? And you're just pumped. Now, what you forgot is, you're 40 years old and you hadn't been saved, and yet all of a sudden you get saved and you want everybody to get saved. So we ran a lot of people off. Why? Because we weren't sensitive to the Spirit. Now, Jesus is very sensitive to what God wants him to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to have a prayer every day. Here's a prayer you can pray daily, and that is, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Right, very simple prayer, but a very, very needful prayer for all of our lives. If I am sensitive to the Spirit of God, there will be some days I'm not going to tell, I'm going to shock some of you. There are going to be some days I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus, because I'm not going to come across anybody that day who is ready to hear about Jesus. Wow. But there are going to be other days that God's going to lead me to divine appointments with people, like Jesus is in this moment, and so Jesus said, I've got to go to Samaria. Now look in verse 5 and 6, all right? He says there, it says, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon, okay? The second thing that we've got to do is that we've got to position ourselves, okay? You got to get yourself into the right position. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. How many of you have ever been, there's a couple of cities that Sherry and I go to, one of them San Francisco because our daughter lives out in that area, and then we also go to New York, and we've been there many times through the years, and there's a certain place in San Francisco where the street cars turn around, that there's always a guy out there. Every time I've ever been, there's been somebody out there with a sign, and basically the sign says, I won't quote it exactly right, but basically it says, get right or go to hell. I mean, it really is pretty much that way, and they're screaming, you know, to everybody that's coming by, and there's the same thing. There's a place in New York I go by, and when we go by, there's this guy out there, and he's standing on this little milk crate he's got, and he's going down. Now, I'm not called to do that. Maybe some of you are, and if you are, God bless you, do it, but here's what I know. I know that you have a lot better chance of winning somebody to the Lord that you have a relationship with, that you have positioned yourself with. Now, Jesus breaks that mold, and we're going to see how he's able to do that, and you can do that, but it's all about positioning. It's all about me. If you've been the one who has been there in the good times and the bad times, they're going to be a whole lot more open to you than if you are never there and all you can do is tell them how wrong they are. See, can I just talk to you a minute? Are you okay? If not, I'll just talk to the campuses, so I'll talk to them, all right? A lot of us have people in our lives who genuinely need Jesus, but we don't need to beat them up all the time, all right? You don't have to share Jesus in every story. Well, man, I was out hunting the other day, and I was just sitting up in a tree stand, and Jesus. You know, I went to the races the other day, and I was watching those cars, and it just reminded me about Jesus. Really? Now, I'm a preacher, and I think you ought to talk about Jesus, and I probably be talking about Jesus more than anybody, but I can have a conversation without talking about Jesus. People need to know that you care about them. And we're going to see that in this story today. We're going to see how Jesus expressed interest in her and her life, and out of that he is able to minister. So you've got to position yourself. You've got to get yourself in the right place. Look at verse 7. We're going to keep going, all right? Verse number 7 says this. It says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? See, the next thing you've got to do here is that you've got to take the initiative, all right? You've got to take the initiative. You can't be waiting. You can't be waiting for somebody to walk up and say, could you tell me about Jesus? I've been doing this for years as a paid professional. And I have never had that happen outside of a church building. I don't, you know, and people know, people see me on television, people know I'm a preacher, but people don't just walk up to me and say, hey, I want to get saved today. Right? So you're going to have to take the initiative. And Jesus, now watch what Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, are you saved? Isn't that what a lot of us do? We meet somebody or we're in relationship with somebody, and the first thing we want to know is, do you know Jesus? Wait a minute. What did Jesus say? Jesus is sitting where? Come on, where is he at? At a well. What do you get at a well? Water. What does Jesus talk about? Water. If you're at a football game, talk about football. If you're out in a tree stand, talk about deer. You don't have. Jesus said, give me water. Now, verse 8, we don't have it on the screen, but let me read it to you. Verse 8 says, his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. So he's there by himself. Now, what you have to understand is, he is dressed as a rabbi. And that day, the religious leaders had a certain dress, so she knows that he is a religious man, okay? And she knows that he's a Jew, and she knows that he shouldn't be talking to her, all right? Verse 9 said, the Samaritan woman looked at him and said, you're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman, all right? How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. It's kind of like some circles some of us run in. Well, you can't talk to those kind of people. See, the next thing that you have to be is that you have to be prepared for resistance. All right? A lot of us, as soon as somebody is a little bit resistant, we start backing up. Jesus doesn't. He keeps moving. Right? You need to know. Here's the deal. The reason she is resistant is because she's at the well at noon. Every other woman in town, hear me, every other woman in town comes early in the morning or late in the evening. She is there at noon. You're going to see why in a minute. All right? She is hesitant. She is wounded. There are parts of her that are just messed up, and so she resists. Here's what I found out about people. People don't resist Jesus. People are just afraid we're going to mess with their wounds. Let me ask you a question. How many of you remember when you were a kid? Now, back in my day, and I know that's been a while, but back in my day, when you would fall down, you'd get all scraped up, maybe riding your bike or whatever it is, you would come in to the house, and you'd be crying, and all you want is sympathy. Right? You want sympathy. You want them to say, oh, it's, you know, and your mom, now back in my day, your mama would say, oh, man, and you'd pat you, and then she'd say, let me put something on it. Right? And there was stuff, now this is, some of you young people won't even know it, but there was stuff called mercurochrome. Anybody remember mercurochrome? That stuff was set on fire from the pits of hell. And I'm making it up. Go find some. Get a wound. Put it on there. And I'm already hurting. This will make it better. This ain't making it better. And then they said, well, let me blow on it. Anybody else experience what I'm talking about? That's her life. That's her life. She's wounded. The wound is raw. The hurt is so right on the edge that as soon as you say something to her, she comes back at you. Who do you think you are? Why are you talking to me? Most people in your life, they're not resistant to Jesus. They're just wounded. They're hurting. And they don't know what to do. They don't understand that everything they've been looking for is found in Him. Because they've been sold religion. They've been sold do's and don'ts. And they don't understand that there is a God who loves them beyond comprehension. Verse 10. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The next thing that happens here is that Jesus speaks to a felt need in her life. She's coming every day at this moment to draw water. She's coming every day because she needs water. But she doesn't come when everybody else does. Because she's so wounded by what everybody else says about her, and we're going to see this in a minute. And Jesus says to her, if you knew who I was, you could have living water. You would never have to come back this well. And she says, if you can get running water in my house, I want to hear about this, right? And so she begins to open up a little bit, all right? And he goes, I don't have time to do this. He talks about spring wells of water that come up within her. And then verse 15, look what verse 15 says. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. All right, you ready? The next part is you need to listen carefully. Why does she not want to come to that well and draw water? It's not because she has no concept of like our day and age where there's running water. Nobody had running water, all right? She doesn't want to go to that well, and she comes at noon because she doesn't want to put up with the hassle from all the women in town. And we're going to see why in the very next verse. You have to listen carefully to people's response. Because they're going to respond to you and they're going to say one thing, but they're not talking about what they're talking about. There's a subtext that's under that if you could see what they were saying, you would realize how much they hurt. And so verse 16 through 18. Now remember, they've been talking about water this whole time, right? There's been nothing said about anything but water. Look in verse 16. Jesus told her, "Go call your husband and come back." What? Right? Come on, we read that. We've read most of you probably know the story. This is so incongruent with everything else that's happening. Water, 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 water. Go call your husband. What? See, you have to let the Spirit lead the conversation. There's a lot of us have been trained in ways to tell people about Jesus. There's the Roman road. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. And it's a great thing. There's the four spiritual laws. You know, and we've all been trained in those things, and they're wonderful and they're great. But I want to tell you, sometimes you don't need to take people down the Roman road, and sometimes you don't need to tell them those four spiritual laws. Sometimes you need to say, "Where is your man?" Let's keep reading. "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said, "You sure don't. You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." See, we need to understand this. That the Spirit is leading this conversation. Jesus starts off in the aspect that she comes for, but then he begins to deal with what she really needs. Now, let me explain something to you. She comes to that day. She's been, are y'all all okay? She's been married five times, and she's shacking up with a guy. All right? And even in the Samaritan culture, that was frowned upon. Jesus goes to the root of her hurt. Now let me say something to you. What this woman had been looking for her entire life was love, not a man. Don't miss it. She had been looking for love. She does not know that she has encountered love incarnate. Because the Bible says God is love. So love is sitting at the well. The one thing that she has looked for all of her life. I don't know if she had a bad home life. I don't know if there was a time with her, if the father figure. I don't know what the issue was. But what I do know is that she was looking for love. And as the song said, in all the wrong places. Wasn't a man she needed. She needed love. And what I find so often is that there are so many of us who our lifestyle shows one thing. Now, I'm not justifying a lifestyle that's against the Word of God. There's another time where there's an adulterous woman thrown at the feet of Jesus, and the Scripture is quite clear that Jesus says, "I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more." So we're not talking about living a lifestyle that's against what the Word of God says. But what we are saying is that God accepts us right where we are in the midst of sometimes not the best situations. And so we've got to come to that place where we understand that God is more concerned about the person than he is about the mess. You want me to tell you how messed up this woman is? Are you ready? All that Jesus says to her is, you've had five husbands and you're living with a guy right now and he's not your husband. They continue this dialogue, and the scripture says that she goes into the city and she says to them, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And the King James Version of the Bible says, and all the men came to see Jesus. No, you missed it. She didn't have a great reputation. All the men came out to see if their laundry had been hung out. Do I need to just break it down for you? All the men of the city came to see Jesus. They want to know if they've been busted. The issue is not the lifestyle. The issue is the brokenness of the individual. And that's where the church has missed it so often, is that we say, well, we only want this kind of person to come to our church. We only want people who have never been divorced. Well, that knocks out half the people in the U.S. who never have any problems, that knocks the other half out. So all we got is empty buildings. So we have country clubs that we call churches that everybody has to wear the same thing, look the same way, act the same way. And if you dare show up and you don't fit the mold, then you are immediately ostracized and put out. And yet Jesus said, I did not come for the well. I came for those who were sick, those who needed a doctor. That's who I came for. And I know when I preach that kind of sermon, and I get accused of this all the time in the area, well, that preacher, he, you know, anybody can come to that church. Yes! Yeah, that I thought that's what it was about. The scripture says, such were some of you. I want to tell you something. I don't want anybody putting my business out on the street, because I got some stuff back there. I got some things. Can I even be bold enough to tell you? I got some things since I've been saved I don't want anybody to know about, let alone before I got saved. And yet if we're not careful as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to have a museum instead of having a hospital. The church is called to be a place that restores people back to their fruitfulness in God's kingdom and then releases them back out to change somebody else's life. Because if you read the rest of that story, and I don't have time to do it, but verse 39 through 42 says that the people came out to see Jesus, and they said, first of all, we believe Jesus because of what you said. But now that we've listened to him, he's been here 2 days, we now believe him for what he said. In other words, the way that people come to know Jesus is because they see what God has done in us. And once they see what God has done in us, then they say, I want to find out what happened to you. But when they start finding out what happened to us, they fall in love with God Almighty, who loves them more than they'll ever understand. And so in that encounter, where the sweat of the day was rolling down her back, she's carrying this old heavy pitcher, she's there for the 10,000th time that day, in that moment there is an encounter with love Almighty that comes into her life, and when it does, it changes her forever. There are some of us today who are here and some of watching who you're that person who immediately puts up the walls because you have been wounded so deeply and sometimes been wounded by those of us from the church, and I want to apologize for that. And I'm not justifying any type of sinful lifestyle that the Word of God says we shouldn't do. Don't misunderstand me. But I am saying that God loves you no matter where you are, no matter what's going on in your world, and He is more concerned about the wounds in your life than He is about the peripheral things that are going on. He loves you enough, as we've said before, that He will take you right where you are, and He loves you too much to leave you there. So He's going to do a work in your life. But what we have to do today is, as we sit here today and as we listen to this sermon, we have to come to that moment of truth, just like this woman did, and say, this man has told me everything about my life. But I didn't feel condemned. I didn't feel disrespected. I didn't feel like he hated me or was trying to put my stuff out on the street. Here's what I felt. I felt his love. I felt his grace. And I felt his mercy. The Bible says it's by grace through faith that you're saved. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anybody boast. Grace and mercy are wonderful concepts, and I close. Grace simply means God gives you what you don't deserve. And what he gives you is favor and mercy. Mercy means God doesn't give you what you do deserve, which is judgment. And so grace and mercy show up in our lives. And God says to us, I love you and I receive you. If you'll come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you.